l'inverse de ce qu'on ferait normalement. Normalement, on aurait essayé ben fort d'attirer votre attention. Mais pour faire l'inverse, on va essayer pas fort. Encore moins fort que ça. Comme ça. Et c'est peut-être en essayant vraiment pas fort d'attirer votre attention qu'on va justement réussir à attirer votre attention. Ça, c'est fort. Le 3 octobre, on inverse la tendance. Tout le monde vote. Un message d'Élections Québec.
Hey, this is Roxanne Shanté, and of course you know I am listening to CKUT 90.3.
The rhymes you're about to hear me recite are dedicated to all of those that...
Yes, that's your volume.
Welcome to Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal's only queer culture show that bridges any divide between queer sex and radical queer politics. Due to the fabulous nature of queer experience, tonight's program may contain sexually explicit or coarse language. You've been advised.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations The Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simone, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
You're listening to Hotel the Blues. You're on 90.3 CKUT FM. To get tonight's program started off, we're going to turn to the king and perhaps one of my...
The French are glad to die for love. They delight in fighting duels. But I prefer a man who lives and gives expensive jewels. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Tiffany's. Cartier. Black Star, Ross Gorham. Talk to me, Harry Winston, tell me all about it. There may come a time when a lass needs a lawyer, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. There may come a time when a hard-boiled employer thinks you're awful nice, but get that ice or else no dice. He's your guy when stocks are high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Affairs that are strictly platonic, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. And I think affairs that you must keep with Sonic are better bets. If little pets get big baguettes, time rolls on and youth is gone, and you can't straighten up when you bend. But stiff back or stiff knees, you stand straight at Tiffany's.
What's up, Montreal? It's me, the one and only Miss Chris, back to you live from my wonderful travels in Europe. It's been a great time. It's been a great 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think. If you saw my Instagram, I'm very excited to let you guys know that I'm actually alone in the studio. Well, I have Alex with me helping me out, but I'm a big girl today and I'm doing the tech kind of myself. So as I said on my story, you know I'm pretty slow with technology. So if you hear something goes wrong, you can hit me up. My phone is right there. But back to the topic at hand. So as promised, I told you guys when I came back that, you know, I was so excited to be back on air after my beautiful friends Munib and Amal did such an amazing job taking over for me. I knew you guys had fun. When I found out the topics and those 50 questions and stuff that they brought, I was like, see, that's why these are the girls I picked to take care of the show while I'm gone. Because first of all, these are people that I trust. But also, I knew that these were people that have a lot of things to say and things that a lot of you guys at home might be very interested in hearing. You know, this show is about, CKUT is about community. Therefore, why not put the entire community on? And on that note, talking about putting the entire community on, the reason why we're not doing the European traveling back with Sayana is, first of all, Sayana is opening up her business today. Digital Studios launched and opened today, Monday. What day are we? Monday, 19th, September 19th. The Digital Studios is open, loaded, working, and ready to be rented, for lack of better words. So you can go on her Instagram and take a look at everything she has to offer. I'm so proud and excited for my sis. She's been working on it for quite a while, which is the reason why she couldn't be with us today. But rest assured, she'll be here next week alongside my posse, Miss Moni, Miss Amal. I think Tarek might be in town. Miss Mimi will be there. I'll have my other girls too. It's going to be a whole little shabam. I'm bringing the girls over. We'll have a talk. We'll have a nice talk. But for the topic today for this week is being Marilyn Monroe. The reason why, first of all, we've all heard of the movie coming out. I think it's actually already premiered, Blonde, with Ana de Armas in the role of Marilyn and directed by Andrew Dominik. I personally haven't seen the movie yet because I'm still debating whether I want to go see the movie in theaters or do I want to wait for the movie to be out on Netflix, which is going to be September 28th, I think. But the movie being out and all of this conversation about Marilyn, because one thing about Marilyn Monroe, right, which is so funny because today I thought of it as being a sample episode, which is very ironic because when you think of Marilyn Monroe, there's nothing sample. There's definitely nothing simple, and that's what makes her such an icon in pop culture, is because nothing was simple with her. You might think that it was easy for her to just get on the screen, slap some red lipstick, a blonde wig, and call it a day, but no. Everything was calculated, everything was thought of, crafted, everything was worked on. And we're definitely going to get into that more with the little topics and segues that I have for the episode, but the movie coming out really pushed me to dive back into Marilyn a bit more, because one thing about me, I would like to call myself a pop culture connoisseur, or a pop culture aficionado, as in, if you want to know who's a Virgo, who's a Taurus, who had their record deal first, what movie was a box office flop, what studio system had a problem with whatever actress from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on and so forth, that's me. The reason why I got into this business and the industry as a performer is because I always had such a great love for women in the past, and not only women in the past, as a non-binary person, I also took a lot of inspiration from male performers of the past. You know, putting you on a little secret, my stage name, and you know, I feel crazy saying this on air, but yes, Marlo is not my real name. No, it's a stage name that I came up with. It's a stage name indeed. I'm finally putting the secret out, because a lot of you guys are always so confused when, you know, you're next to me in more legal, let's say, settings, and you hear my real name, and you're like, wait, how many names do you have? I won't tell you my legal name, because that's between me, my mother, God, and our prime minister. However, I'll give you a little side note, a little backstory to where my stage name comes from. So Marlo is an anagram between Bardo and Marlon Brando. So that just to show you that I've always had such a love and such a admiration for everything that came before from the past, because the thing about pop culture, the thing about actresses, actors, singers, models, designers, artists, is as big as a part of pop culture they are, I feel like they're often being looked over in the sense that pop culture is not something that's being taught in school, which I personally believe pop culture should be right alongside science. Because trust and believe, knowing about Marilyn Monroe helped me more than knowing about my table d'éléments périodiques. All right? I haven't opened a science book in the past 10 years. But I've talked about Marilyn, and I'm talking about her today. So back to the pop culture at hand. Marilyn motherfucking Monroe. When I decided to speak on her because of the movie coming out, because of the whole conversation surrounding her, her pop culture influence, her work, her life, and everything that came for her and before, with, and after her, the first thing that I thought is that I decided for the show was I am not going to go in the usual sob story route, which almost to me falls in the sense of trauma porn, right? Because if you know Marilyn Monroe, or if you just know the myth, the story, most people know that she came from very humble beginnings, and humble is, you know, an understatement. She was in the foster care system. I think she went through maybe 7 to 10 foster families. The girl had a rough life. You know, her mother had mental illness. She was in the asylum. Her grandmother before her was in the same situation. Marilyn never technically ended up in the asylum, but I believe it's because she died before. And also because people had too much to gain from exploiting her instead of giving her the help she needed, which was Hollywood at the time, sadly, which is still, in a way, Hollywood nowadays and the industry all over the world. But times have definitely changed, and we do have Marilyn to thank for it, because without getting, once again, too much into the sub-story of her life, we cannot talk about Marilyn Monroe without talking about the politics that came for a woman in the 50s in terms of being an actress, in terms of being in the industry. Politics that slowly but surely have started to change, especially in the wake of a few years ago with the Me Too movement. You know, we're starting to be able to talk more openly, to definitely be more open and also real about what it is to be a woman, but especially what it is to be a woman that uses her sexuality as part of her image. Because when I said earlier that when it comes to Marilyn Monroe, nothing was simple, everything was crafted. And I say this with the utmost respect as a performer, as somebody that also utilizes a lot of glamour, a lot of beauty. I always say, as long as I have a voice, you will hear me. And as long as I have this body, you will see me. And I will be seen and I will be heard. And one thing Marilyn Monroe made sure to be is to be seen and to be heard. When I think of Marilyn Monroe and the power of the glamour and the beauty and the sex appeal that she used and utilized on screen, I like to make certain references and certain correlations, or, you know, comparisons to what we have nowadays, right? A lot of people would like to see, you know, it's part of the constant communicate conversation when it comes to Marilyn Monroe, that if we were to look at the ladies and the people that we have in the public eye nowadays, a lot of people we know would believe and would agree that Kim Kardashian is the closest thing we have to Marilyn Monroe. As much as respect I have for Kim Kardashian as a woman in pop culture, as a beauty icon, because the lady is a beauty icon. You cannot think of beauty in the 2010s without thinking of the Kardashians, for better or for worse. But for them to try to put her in the same vicinity in terms of what she represented for pop culture as Marilyn Monroe is, personally, I believe, is completely false. Marilyn Monroe and Kim Kardashian are two different women that came by two different means and that have shown two different things to the public. Once again, it's no shade to Miss Kim K. We love Kim K. Kim K is an icon. She, you know, if it wasn't some for Kim K, the contour that we'd be doing nowadays wouldn't be contoured up. You know, it's contouring. Kim K, one thing about her, she will contour. And we will contour, you know, for lack of a better word, I'm trying to make a little pun for you, but I'll keep it cute. But, you know, when I go back to Marilyn Monroe, and if we want to talk about crafting an image, a lot of people don't know that Marilyn Monroe actually worked with the same makeup artist for the entirety of her career, which is from the early 50s. I think one of her first screen tests was All About Eve in 1950. She did have some minor roles in the 40s, but nothing sadly to be that remembered, because All About Eve with Bette Davis was the real moment that the world got to see Marilyn Monroe, you know, in action, if so to speak. And even though the movie was in black and white, you can already see what was going to become key elements of the Marilyn Monroe myth, right? Of the entire imagery that came with her. So when we go back to the makeup, Marilyn Monroe actually worked with the same makeup artist with it. Alan Withy Snyder, let me look up his name, because I just know him as Alan, because I was lucky enough to found, oh, there we go, Alan Withy Snyder. Yeah, so she worked with Mr. Snyder for the entirety of her career, to the point that Before she died, I think she made him promise in the mid-50s that, God forbid, she was to die before him, he would be the one to do her funeral makeup. And he did. He kept up his end of the bargain, and when she died, August 1962, Alan Withley was the one doing her makeup, and he was also one of the pearl bearer at her funerals. But let's go back to the makeup itself. When I talk about crafting an identity and crafting a visual image as a performance artist, as somebody once again that utilizes a lot of the visual aspect, I have full understanding that this is show business. I've always said it's show business. No matter what I get up on the stage, no matter what I get up on TV and say and do, at the end of the day, people will see something. And it might not be the same in the same case for everybody. A lot of people, you know, a lot of performers, they're able to get to the stage and, for example, they don't have the most glam outfit or most glam presentation, but what they have is a voice. What they have is an instrument. What they have, you know, is something else. Like Josephine Baker, for example, said, as a dancer, all I had was my body. A painter had his paint, you know, ses pinceaux and his canvas. What I had was my body. And that's something I can fully get behind of, because as a performer, as a go-go dancer, as a dancer, as a performance artist, as an actress, I always say I'm no Whitney Houston when it comes to singing. I might give you a little Janet. I might whisper on the mic for you. I'm definitely no Oscar Peterson. Don't put me behind any instrument. I had few piano lessons as a kid, and that's about it. I might be able to play the 7th symphony. I might be able to play the first 2 minutes, and that's it. I'll keep it on repeat, you know. So I can fully understand, I can fully respect somebody that, like Marilyn, that really took time to create a visual artistry to what she had to offer. Because once again, now, before I once do another segue back to the makeup, Marilyn Monroe's makeup took 3 hours to achieve. 3 hours. And that's 3 hours of makeup using 1950s products. To give you a full idea of the amount of work. Not to say that the girl needed all of this. My understanding and my belief with makeup is nobody needs makeup. You know, I posted something on my story just today, being funny. I said what I like the most about doing a radio show is I don't have to get cute. I'll be rolling out of my bed, slap a bit of moisturizer on, and I'm out. When I'm on stage, when I'm in front of a camera, that's different. But what I do understand with Marilyn is that the level of craftiness her and Alan were able to come up with when it comes to her makeup. And even though this is a radio show, so I can't really show you pictures, I'm inviting all of you guys to just Google Marilyn Monroe close-up or Marilyn Monroe makeup, right? As I'm going through it with you. Because I personally have my little Marilyn Monroe picture with me that I'm looking at right now. The one I really want to get on first is, let's get into the Marilyn Monroe 1950s look, which is the quintessential, when you think of it, Marilyn Monroe makeup, because sadly she was to die in 1942, and the makeup already in the 60s was very different, you know. We were kind of shifting away from the heavy, glossed-up red lip to a more nude, even though she was still with the red lip, it was more matte, but let's go to the 50s makeup. So when I look at Marilyn Monroe in the 50s, few key elements that I see, right? I see the very heart-shaped eyebrows. I also see lots of dewiness and lots of glow. Once again, like I mentioned on the lips, I see extremely glossed up red lips with a bit of a lighter tint in the middle of the bottom lip, right? I see the infamous mole. I also see the half lashes. I see the brown eyeliner, which a lot of people have confused. Marilyn Monroe never did a dark liner. She only did brown liners, especially in the 50s. And I also see my favorite thing about her makeup, which is the fake eyeshadow, shadow burn, but basically the lash shadow that's being drawn at the bottom of her waterline. So let's get into that. Her and Alan, the way they worked, right? Because Marilyn Monroe, she doesn't get enough credit for the visual artist that she was. Because when you look at her makeup, and that's where the makeup aficionados, the people that love makeup and that love pop culture, Marilyn Monroe was not actually the first blonde bombshell when it comes to Hollywood history. A lot of people don't know, but the first blonde bombshell in history when it comes to Hollywood was Jean Harlow in the 1930s, which she also had a, you know, untimely demise, but she died of, you know, medical reasons, unlike Marilyn, who died sadly of a drug overdose. But Jane Harlow was to die in 1937 at the age of maybe 26 years old. And Jane Harlow was the actual original blonde bombshell, as she was featured in the movie Blonde Bombshell in 1932, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I do believe. So Marilyn had a lot of inspiration drawn from Jane Harlow, as well as Greta Garbo, which, if you know cinema history, Greta Garbo is perhaps the OG. You know, we had Mary Pickford, we had Clara Bow in the early 10s and very, very early 20s. But Greta Garbo is the first real Hollywood icon, especially when you think of her being part of the silent film and having been one of the few actresses that was able to cross over to the talkies, right? When Hollywood became, when movies became talkable, when you could hear actors on screen, if you see what I'm talking about. So Marilyn Monroe was able to draw both inspiration from Jean Harlow and Greta Garbo with their makeup, right? And the way they presented themselves on screen. Jane Harlow with the blonde bombshell, the platinum blonde hair, the dark eyebrows and the red lips. Even though Jane Harlow, most of her movies were in the black and white eras of the time, you still can see some colorized pictures of her and you can clearly see that the makeup, the lipstick was red. But when it comes to the eyes were straight up Greta Garbo, and it's something that I have so much respect for, because as, once again, somebody that loves the visual aspect of everything, Marilyn Monroe was able to take inspiration from Greta Garbo's sleepy eyes makeup. Because one thing about Greta is she was known for those deep set, cut creased looking eyes, right? And that's exactly what Marilyn Monroe did. Because a lot of people don't know that Marilyn always wanted to be an actress. It's not something that happened out of a sudden for her. If you were to go back in her career and see the way it, you know, fold up, Marilyn started as a model in the 40s, as a pinup model, and then as a commercial model, or the other way around, to slowly but surely make her way to Hollywood, right? So it was always something that she wanted to do. She said it herself. Jane Harlow, Greta Garbo, these ladies that she grew up watching on the, you know, in the movies when she was a child, these were the girls that she wanted to be. Clark Gable, that she was able to play in The Misfits in 1961, which sadly was his last film and one of her last films before dying. Last films that she actually completed. That she never completed, Something's Got to Give in 1962. These were people that she looked up to. These were people that she wanted to be akin to. These were people that she wanted to work with. And she ended up doing so. But when I say that nothing was left to the imagination, in the sense that everything was crafted with her, she took up that image and molded it into something that she knew was marketable, bankable, as they used to say in the 50s. Back to the makeup. So she always knew the kind of idea and the kind of visual, the kind of woman she wanted to be portraying on screen, right? Which is why when you see Marilyn's makeup in the 50s, especially when it comes to her eyes, everything was so bedroomy, right? Everything was so sleepy, everything was so smoldering. Which is why she used a brown liner to really accentuate the not too done up eyes as eye aspect of the makeup, right? Everything had to be just soft and everything had to be just fresh, right? Which is what she did, especially with when I mentioned earlier, I was slurring my words, but the shadow that she used to draw underneath her waterline, right at the basis, right under the lash line, on top of her half lashes. A lot of people, when they look at the pictures, they don't realize that it's not an actual shadow. When you go to see Marilyn in movies, when you look at her pictures, when you look at her movies, her on screen, especially when it comes to videos, you see that there's always that shadow, no matter where the light is coming from, no matter how low and how bright the light is. There's always the shadow from her lashes, and that's because she had Alan draw with a brown liner the shadow under the lashes to give the illusion that her half lashes were so heavy, that her eyes were so sleepy, that every time she would open her eyes, there was this shadow from her lashes, which is, as a makeup girl, I believe it's just genius. It's simply just unbelievable, the attention to detail that was put on. And to go back on Mr. Withy, on Mr. Snyder, Alan Withy was his little nickname. So let's just call him Withy. If we go back to Mr. Withy, there's something to be said about an artist working with the same makeup artist her entire career. Because that's one thing that really saddens me when I look at, for example, Kim Kardashian. Love her. Once again, for better or for worse. Love what she has done with her career and what she has done with the beauty industry. But my thing is, even though Kim K has her signature makeup, you kind of see her drifting away, and same thing for Rihanna, same thing for Nicki Minaj and Beyonce and all these other girls. They all had their signature makeup at the beginning of their career, right? When you think Beyonce and her Destiny's Child day, you think very bronze, golden makeup, which was very, and you know, in fashion for the 90s. When you think of Nicki Minaj in the early days, you know, of her mainstream career, the Pink Friday years, you think of bright pink lip, you think of her bold eyeshadow, a good liner, some thick lashes, you know, a very Barbie look. When you think of Rihanna, which Rihanna is a bit more complicated to seize up, even though, which is so funny because she's the one with the makeup line and the makeup brand. But Rihanna was always much of a chameleon when it comes to her makeup. But when you look at the early beginnings, when she was in the Pond Where Replay Girl and, you know, Music of the Sun and A Girl Like Me, her makeup was very much more sun-kissed, going through the island girl theme of her music. So everybody had their own makeup, you know, signature makeup. But we're coming in a society as a generation with the rise of social media, TikTok, Instagram, and everything. Makeup knowledge is so easily accessible that everybody is able to do so many different things, which is an amazing thing. You know, I do my own makeup often. I've worked with several makeup artists. A lot of my friends are makeup artists, so I have key makeup artists that I love to go back to when I have some bigger gigs that I know this is a, you know, a big thing. I'm going to be seen by a lot of people, especially if it's on camera. I want my makeup to look a certain way. I know who I'm going to talk to. You know, I'll talk to Imani. I'll talk to Miss Brit Fatale. You know, I'll talk to my girls. I'll talk to Ashley sometimes if she's still available. But I do also know how to do my own makeup, and I know how my face works, which the relationship between Marilyn and Withy is something that I've always aspired to have and always looked up with such respect. Simply because you don't sit around with somebody for 3 hours every morning on set to not have a certain respect of each other's work and craft, right? Because when I say 3 hours, I'm not kidding. It really took her 3 hours in the sense that at the time, makeup was not as further and in terms of knowledge for everybody that we know as of today, right? She was one of the first women that I know of, especially at that time, because that's why I love makeup, and that's why I love Marilyn in terms of a visual persona. At the time, using the cameras that the studios and, you know, movie and TV were using back at the time, a lot of people don't know that the reason why certain colors were not used in makeup back in the, let's say 30s, 40s, because that's when really, late 40s even, right? Let's around those times, that's when really color became a thing, right? Primacolor and color play and whatever on those different kind of cameras. At the time, certain colors were not showing up on screen. You simply couldn't use a blue eyeshadow, I think, back in the 30s because it wasn't showing up right. So the ladies had to use a gray eyeshadow. You couldn't use brown because the brown wouldn't show as nice, especially back in the 20s, way before Marilyn's time, because she was born in 26, right? You couldn't use brown and, you know, brown for contour because brown was not showing up nicely on screen, especially early 20s. The camera was so flat. You know, that's when you look at 1920s makeup, there's no contour. Everything is about the eyes and the lips because these were the things that were really showing up, the key things that were showing up on screen. But by the time Marilyn came into business by the mid-50s, when she really was establishing herself as the icon that she was, the camera had already gotten so much better, but the camera was still not what we have today. So what she did was to work alongside what she had and work with what she knew was going to show up on screen. When you look at her makeup, if you're still on your phone, go back to the pictures, right? Go back to the videos. You see the shadow that I mentioned. You see the way that her skin was always so dewy, right? Marilyn was always catching up to light. No matter where she was, once again, no matter how light, how dim, how bright, her skin would have been dewy. Why? Because the girl was using Vaseline as a primer. Which, when you think of it in 2022, nobody would put Vaseline on their face for the life of them. You know, I feel like we all know right now that Vaseline is a bit thick. You know, and once again, skin is very different from one person to another. We don't all have the same kind of skin tone, so you can't all use the same things. However, Marilyn knew that part of her image to be, you know, this baby doll, to be this sultry bedroom-looking girl that's always so flustered and so fresh, she needed that constant glow. So what her and Withy did was using Vaseline as a primer. First thing they would put on her skin was a big, good layer of Vaseline to make sure that no matter where she is in front of that camera, her skin will glow. And then when you look once again at her heart-shaped eyebrows that I mentioned, she's not obviously not naturally born with, you know, heart-shaped eyebrows. But what she knew she wanted, once again, was to commute love on screen. She wanted to be a sex symbol. She wanted to be loved. She wanted to be deemed beautiful, right? So everything fell into really heart-shaped and love and those kind of keywords. So her and Withy, they plucked those eyebrows to really give much more of a lifted and more angled and the temple shape to her face. That's why when you look at her face, no matter what the angles, and she always also had her favorite pose, you know, with the neck a bit lifted and everything, just to really accentuate the cheekbones and everything. Because she knew she wanted her face to commute love on screen, which is why she stuck with the red lip. And if we were to get on those lips, once again, everything was crafted. Don't think that she was just putting on red lip liner, or red lipstick, some gloss, and call it a day. Miss Monroe had 5 layers of red lipstick. 5 layers. One of them was Rouge by Chanel, an iconic shade. When it comes to the lip liner, I'm zooming on a picture that was probably from, looking at it, maybe 1955. And it's giving me 1955 because it looks like straight out of the Gentleman Preferred Blonde. And I think that came out in 55 too. 52 or 55, not sure. But it was around those times, those years. I look at her lip, right? So glossy. And especially so glossy, but you still, like I mentioned, see the inner powderness, the inner corner, the lower lip, you see the very, and exactly the inner center, much lighter. And I know a lot of you girls at home, and guys and people at home are wondering, well, if she had 5 shades of lipstick, how the hell was the inner corner, inner center lighter, almost white? But that's simply because she would actually put white concealer in the middle of her bottom lip to give fullness. Because, and that's one, you know, you can hear in my voice the passion, because I have a passion for beauty. I've always said, and I stuck with it, there is no shame when you're a marginalized person. And especially when you're just a person in general, there's no shame to be vain and to love yourself. My mother, my biological mother, used to always tell me in Creole, visage moi c'est pas pomme. My face is my passport. If I don't look right, how the hell am I expecting to get around? And that's something my mother told me when I was 8 years old. And I've never forgot it. If you don't look right, how the hell do you expect to get around? And that also goes to show, sadly, what type of society we live in, right? Because now more and more, especially with social media and YouTube and everything, we are more open and more able to have those conversations. We talk about beauty privilege. We talk about pretty privilege. We talk about what it is to be seen as more desirable in society and how you will often get benefits from it. And as fucked up as it is, I am not in the business of being ugly. I've always said, you can say a lot of things about me. I've heard a lot, and I've heard quite a lot of things about me. But what I've never heard is somebody call me ugly, because that would be a lie. And we don't like liars. And God don't like liars, because God don't like ugly. And beauty is, once again, like Sophia Loren said, in the eye of the beholder. I'm sitting here telling you that I'm not in the business of being ugly, simply because I know that for myself, I know what beauty is. I know how I can commute beauty the best way. Whether it's on screen, whether it's on me presenting myself, whether it's just me posting a picture, I know how to make myself look good. Why? Because I make my own rules on how to look good, the same way Marilyn Monroe did. Marilyn Monroe, you have to understand that for the time being, the 50s, her look was pretty bold. We're talking about 5 layers of red lipstick with a top of very shiny coat of lip gloss. We're talking about white powdered foundation. Her foundation was technically almost white. The concealer that she was using was white. That's how she was able to really bring the light to her face so often. Now, I know how a lot of you people at home, especially if you're like me from a darker complexion, I've often look up a way of how to do Marilyn Monroe makeup on a darker skin. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy, because sadly the Marilyn Monroe makeup was not made for darker skin, because Marilyn Monroe was a white woman. She was very pale. But what did she do? She used what she had and made the best out of it. Now, enough about the makeup, because knowing me, I could be on this little show for the next 6 hours talking about her makeup. But let's talk about other things, right? Let's talk about her visual persona. But before doing so, let me play another song, because you know me, when I do a show, I like to give a little theme for the show, which means I like to bring songs based on the theme. So we first opened the show with Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend from Gentleman Prefers Blonde, which is one of my favorite Marilyn Monroe movies. You know, there's Jane Russell in it. It's just, you got to see it. If you've never seen the movie, you've heard and seen Gentleman Prefers Blonde with the pink dress. It's where the movie is from. So it's a movie that the scene is from. Ooh, ciao. But anyways, back to the songs. I'm feeling, you know what? I had two ideas. Either I could stick to the Marilyn Monroe theme, to the full extent, and just play Marilyn Monroe songs, Or I could maybe play different songs by artists that were written either about or with Marilyn Monroe in mind. So you know what? I might do that. Because outside of being a big pop culture connoisseur, a huge Marilyn Monroe, Brigitte Bardot, Sophia Loren, Audrey Hepburn, Monica Bellucci, even though she's from a different time. You know, even though I'm a huge cinema lover, I'm also a Barb's. So what I'm going to play for you guys is Marilyn Monroe by Nicki Minaj on her Pink Friday Woman Reloaded album. So let's play it. You can always call me at 514-448-4013. Come and chat and let me know what you think about Miss Monroe. Alright, back to the song.
It's like all the good things, they fall apart like Marilyn Monroe. Truth is we mess up till we get it right. I don't wanna end up losing myself.
Selfish, also impatient, yes. Which is another thing we should be talking about, Sally. I know I said I didn't want to make that episode a sob story, because I personally feel that Marilyn Monroe's story has been... How can I put this in words? We now know that the lady was suffering with mental illness, with mental health issues. We now know that the lady was not crazy, as she was made to be looked at as crazy. Back in the 50s and the 60s, when she was fighting for her rights as an actress and, you know, to be treated with respect in that industry. But I feel like there has been such a morbid, almost, obsession with the sadness of her life, right? There has been this morbid obsession. Oh, it looks like somebody was calling. See, I told you guys, I'm alone in that studio, so if you call, you gotta text me, honey. I can't keep my eyes everywhere, you know, I keep an eye out for Selena, but... But I think I know who was calling, so baby, call back. My eyes are right up on the phone right now. And I'll be on. You're listening. I love this. Give me one sec, guys. We are... What's up, everybody? I'm about to put my girl on the air. Give me one sec. Can you hear me? Hello? Oh. Oh, give me one sec. Telephone. See, right when Alex left, that's when I'm having technical issues. Bear with me, guys. I know what I'm doing. Telephone. Damn it. You know what? Listen, I'm going to hang up a bit. Geneva, you're going to call me right back. Okay, guys. So back to the story. As I can multitask, I'm going to be looking on my damn thing to look for this telephone outlet. I just had it. But anyways, let's play another song in the meantime. Oh, I'm really sorry, guys. But I've been doing a good job, no? Like I told you, I've been alone in the studio, taking it up and all. But anyways, we'll be playing I Wanna Be Loved By You in the meantime. Another one of my favorite songs. I am back, and sadly, I'm still not able to figure out how to get this phone working. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm really sorry. But I did say, this is so embarrassing, but I did say that I'm very slow with technology, and I'm sitting in front of this damn thing with so many different buttons that say telephone. And what I do not want is to go pick a button and have God knows what happened on air, honey. So I was thinking, maybe what I could do is have my friend call me on my actual cell phone and put it right next to the microphone. Let's try this thing. So call me right there. Watch me almost saying my phone number on air. There we go. So try to call me on this one. Because this friend Geneva, honey, one thing about me, you guys know I love and know about pop culture, but this girl might be the one girl I can really, if this was a game of Jeopardy, I might be in Jeopardy. So back to the story at hand. I'll see if it works. She'll be calling me if it works or not, but whatever. So yeah, I was saying before, people love you utilizing Marilyn's story as a, you know, almost trauma porn. But at the same time, people do love using her story as a cautionary tale, which is very important. Because she, when you think of it, sadly, you can't always, you, when it comes to suicide, when it, oh, I should have given I'm sorry for using that word, chicken or trigger, I mean, there was a trigger warning before, but when it comes to battling with mental health and stuff like that, you can never put that on somebody else's, right? People struggle with their own things and everything. People start with their own, people have their own issues that they're battling with, but when it comes to Marilyn and her mental health, I truly believe that the industry did that to her. They really pushed her to that corner simply because at the time, mental health was not something that was fully respected or understood. And it just saddens me that when you think of her, when we talk about her, the only thing that people want to talk about, sadly, is the tragedy behind her life. The tragedy, but what about the greatness that she brought to the screen? Oh, we're receiving a call. What's up, sis? Wait, let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. Can you hear? Can you hear yourself, like, on the show? Speak.
Oh, I actually paused it because I didn't want it to be echoey.
Mm. Well, you know what? I'm putting you right next to the microphone, so that's the best we'll be getting at.
All right, do it.
So, yeah, I was telling them, when it comes to Marilyn Monroe and just pop culture knowledge and everything, I told them if there was one person that could go toe-to-toe with me, if this was a game of Jeopardy, it would be you.
Oh, my God, what a huge compliment. I mean, we've definitely bonded over our love of the divas and the women who have come before.
Definitely.
Because I think, and you would know and definitely acknowledge, that pop culture is so referential.
Yes.
So it's important to go back and see where everything came from. Like, we aren't just in a vacuum where style and taste is just all of a sudden here. It all comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've always been so inspired to look back and see where all the different steps happen and where all the different things happen for us to get to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Marilyn is, you know, probably like one of the most iconic faces of human history, really.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so crazy that you mentioned how everything comes from something, right? Because when you look at Marilyn, because we touched upon her makeup earlier, but when you look at Marilyn and her image, it's crazy how, to a certain extent, she is the most often replicated.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Marilyn is that you can't technically replicate the look so easily because that look is not to be replicated on like a day-to-day basis.
It's dramatic. It's
yeah.
big. I actually, when you were talking about the makeup, I mm-hmm. grabbed my Kevin Aquan Making Faces book.
Yes.
And he's got a page in here dedicated to her, and I thought you'd like the description.
Read it.
And
go
he
ahead.
Says, lightly arched eyebrows, glossy red lips, satiny powder soft eyeshadow, lush eyelashes with ample mascara and foundation with a healthy tone to imply vitality were the signature cosmetic features of the bombshell. The Zaftig group included Jane Mansfield, Betty Grable, and of course, Marilyn Monroe, easily the most unique and complex of them all. And I loved that description.
100%, 100%. Because there was definitely other bombshells, especially blonde bombshells of that era. But it is to be understood that Marilyn was the first one. Or the most important one, almost.
Absolutely. I think she's incredibly important. But as you mentioned, like the Greta Garbo's or the Mae West, they set a tone for her. And I think when it comes to like iconic, important faces, she's so recognizable. And those things like the bedroom eye, the heart-shaped eyebrows, the red lip, they're unmistakably her. And considering that she hasn't been with us in, what, about 60 years?
Yep.
Everyone knows what that is. It's undeniable that it's her. And that kind of impact, I mean, that's once in a lifetime, once in a century.
No, 100%. Every time I think of it, it makes me think of, because she always said that what she wanted the most in her career and her life is to, A, be loved and to be recognized as an actress.
And I know, and she didn't often, which is really heartbreaking.
Yeah. But I do think sometimes, because when you think of the way her image is so mass-produced, I wonder sometimes, looking at, you know, from above, how does she feel? Because at the end of the day, she did become the most recognized actress in the world, in history.
I do, too. Do you know about the story of her estate?
I think, tell them, because I think I do, but remind me and remind the listeners.
So she she trained under Lee Strasberg, the acting coach, famous for method acting. Yes. And when she passed away, he got 75% of her estate.
Yeah.
And he was married to someone who knew her.
Mm-hmm.
They got divorced, and he married another woman who never had met Marilyn. Yeah. And then when he passed away in the late 60s, this woman who had never met Marilyn all of a sudden inherited 75% of the estate.
Yeah.
And clearly she went to town marketing the hell out of her face. So part of me is heartbroken that the person who was able to take all of the money is someone that never knew her.
And not even a family related member or something.
Not a family, no family related, didn't know her. It feels exploitative to me.
Yeah.
But then again, on the other side of the coin, did she get the fame that she would have wanted? But I guess I wish it could have been on her own terms.
Right.
That's what it is.
No, 100%. Thank you so much for calling, Vibs. Oh, we have to talk soon and talk about this damn book.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Bye. Bye, babe.
Bye. So this was my friend Geneva, once again, a full connoisseuse, une vraie connaisseuse, une vraie de vraie. Shout out to her, really. And the Kevin O'Quan book, you guys should read it, because if you've been really into my little makeup talk earlier, you should get the book, or you should, you know, rent it, whatever, because it's an amazing book. Kevin O'Quan, rest in peace, is a makeup god. When it comes to the makeup that we be doing nowadays, when you think of makeup from the 80s, 90s, if you think of the supermodels, if you think of the pop girls, Madonna, Janet, Cher, Kevin is the one that was Whitney Houston. Kevin was doing everybody's makeup. And he was the best. May he rest in peace. But back to Marilyn and that estate conversation. Yes, how can I forget about the damn estate? Because if I'm going to make this a sob story, I'm not about to make it a sob story about her mental health, but I'll make it a sob story about the exploitation that lady received and faced all the way to her afterlife. Because like Geneva said, her estate has been sold. When I'm telling you sold, her estate has been sold like little hot Swedish bread on a Sunday morning. When I'm telling you she has been sold, Sephora winter sales haven't even been that good yet. People have made so much money with the name of Marilyn Monroe. When you go somewhere, you can go anywhere all over the world. And that's something that shook me, because, you know, I was traveling in Europe. And I kid you not, in Paris, when you go to a tourist shop, you will see plenty of little Marilyn Monroe things. What the hell does Marilyn Monroe have to do with France? One might ask themselves. Marilyn Monroe's image has been utilized in such ways that, sadly, one of the ways I was really able to get into her is by reading her private diary that was turned into a book. And, you know, I feel very differently about it now, but at the time I was, what, 13, 14 years old? So, you know, you don't understand a lot of things. You don't see the things the same way you will do as an adult, as a grown-up with more knowledge. But I did read her private diary that was turned into a book. They turned that lady's private diary into a bestseller. The book only goes as far as the mid to late 50s, which only covers maybe, let's say, a third of her career. As she died, she was to die 6 or 7 years after. So 6 to 7 years are missing in that book. But it's so astonishing when you think of it. And it's something, you know, I'm here, I'm losing words, because it's just so fucked up. People have made so much money, like Geneva mentioned. That lady sold everything. If she could have sold Marilyn's toothbrush, she would have. If she could have sold her pennies, she would have. That lady sold everything at Sotheby's, at all the big auction houses. She sold it all. And when you think of her dresses and outfits being worn at the Met Gala by Kim Kardashian, I personally felt like this was extremely distasteful. It would have been one thing to wear some of her jewelry. It would have been one thing to wear, I don't know, some of her, to have her exact makeup replicated. There was so many different ways that this could have been achieved, and I understand that this was the highest way to pay homage to the theme that year, which was American fashion. Yes, this was, you know, this was a genius move when you think of it, but extremely distasteful when you look at the history of exploitation that follows the name Marilyn Monroe. People don't know that when she died, Hugh Hefner actually bought the place and the tomb right next to her. Other people have bought the places on top of her and underneath her, so they could say that they will forever sleep under or on top of Marilyn Monroe. Do you know how crazy that is? To not even be left alone after life and your afterlife? Marilyn Monroe deserved way better. And what I really wanted this episode to be about was for people to really see beneath and beyond the sad little girl from the orphanage that suffered from mental health and that ended up either taking her own life or dying from an accidental overdose. I wanted to look past that. I wanted people to look at the artist. Like Geneva mentioned, the woman that went through Lee Strasberg and the Actor's Studio for method acting in the 50s in New York because she wanted to be taken seriously. The woman that started out as a model in Hollywood and did all the photo shoots and all the things she could and had to deal with some sleazy photographers that wanted more than just a photo shoot. She had to deal with all of this. She had to learn how to play the studio just like Joan Crawford. Joan Crawford, who, you know, all love and respect, even though you can say what you want about her modeling skills, this is not what it's about. It's not, the topic is not even about her today. But Joan Crawford was another one that had to learn how to play by the studio's rules. As women at that time often had to. When Marilyn Monroe was starting to give problems to the Fox, the 20th Fox Century, you know what their answer was? That's when they picked up Jane Mansfield. And I love Jane Mansfield. Jane Mansfield, if you want to talk about a stunt queen, Jane Mansfield is the OG original motherfucking stunt queen. We're talking about somebody that was known to show up with dresses that were, you know, tailored not so right, just so she could have an oops, titties out function moment in the 50s. Jane Mansfield is the original stunt queen. She was the original every publicity is good publicity. But to understand Jane Mansfield is to understand that she only got her career technically because they were trying to get rid of Marilyn. They were trying to find an answer to her. Mamie Van Doren is another one. So many blonde actresses from the 50s only got a start because the studios were trying to get another Marilyn because Marilyn was not playing by the rules anymore. She wanted something better. And as sad as it is, she got so close to that better thing, but she sadly never got to. No, she was to die in 1962 at the age of 36. So as I said, I could go on for so long and so long about Marilyn, but, you know, we do have to call it a day and call it a night because I do have to pee. I have to go to the bathroom and there's only 2 minutes left. So after all this talk about show business, why not play a song from the movie? There's no business like show business from 1954, starring Marilyn Monroe. And the song I'm going to play for you guys is Heat Wave, which is very ironic when you look at the temperature. Before I go, let me just say one thing. You guys know how much I love you? Do you know how? I always have the bad habit to give too much details. I walked from my house all the way into my land to the CKUT radio studios. Under the rain. I'm literally walking on puddles. My shoes are puddly. But I'm here tonight. Because what? There's no business like show business. And on that note, let's play Heat Wave. Maybe we'll get some heat in the following days. This was the one and only Miss Chris on CKUT Queer Core Ask Miss Chris. And I'll see you next week. And I love you all. Always.
South. Small danger of
what?
Fruit frost. Hot and humid nights can be expected.
St. Vincent 95. Guadeloupe 97. San Domingo 99. Martinique 105.
We're having a heat wave. A tropical heat wave. Temperature's rising, it isn't surprising, you certainly can.
Hold your hand, I don't want anything from you, I just want to be your loving man. Uno dos.
In Montreal.
CKUT. All the rhythms, all the music, all the time.
90.3 FM.
Ici Anne-Marie Soucy
et Azalée Baillargeon du groupe Those Trees.
Vous écoutez Les Beaux Sons avec Nathalie Dipalma sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM.
Bonsoir et merci d'être à l'écoute. On passe l'heure avec deux des quatre membres du groupe Those Trees, soit Anne-Marie Soucy, la chanteuse du groupe qui joue aussi du clavier, et Azalée Baillargeon à la basse, à la batterie et à la voix. Those Trees est un groupe rock entièrement féminin qui roule sa bosse depuis 11 ans et nous sommes très heureuses de les recevoir. Salut à vous deux!
Salut!
Il y a eu beaucoup de changements dans le groupe depuis votre dernière visite. Est-ce que vous pouvez nous faire un petit historique du groupe et nous parler de l'évolution de Those Trees?
Oui, en effet, le band s'est métamorphosé avec les années. Il y a 10, 11, 12 ans, ça fait quand même un bail, on était trois. Ensuite de ça, il y a eu Jacinthe qui est arrivé dans le band, puis Bill qui jouait de la batterie, puis là Jacinthe est parti, d'autres gens sont partis, Azalée est arrivée, Jacinthe est revenue 5 ans plus tard après son départ. Il y a eu beaucoup de mouvements, mais là ça fait, Azalée, combien de temps que t'es dans le band?
Ça doit faire 6 ans.
C'est